government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Prince, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this November the 10th on the West Coast, now November the 11th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zones. Also, like to welcome anyone listening to us on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. Want to wish all of you in the U.S. Marine Corps a happy 234th, and now here we are on the 11th, so we've got Veterans Day as well. And I want to welcome the folks listening in on blogtalkradio.com as well. Lots going on. I did 3 hours of broadcasts with Dr. A. Truott and Dr. Mike Castle today, and we had some very interesting conversations. We discussed in detail what we feel went on at Fort Hood, certainly not what the mainstream media is reporting these days. And we also talked about this flu pandemic and a lot of the phony figures that are going out. Certainly the disease that people are getting is not the H1N1, which we're hearing now. That's those that haven't gotten vaccines. And we're going to keep putting out the truth, whether people want to pay attention or not. Somebody's awake. Somebody will hear it. If we cause one person not to get ill from these deadly vaccines, then we've done our job. Tonight's guest is an internet talk show host himself, and he has his own show called A Marine's Disquisition, heard Monday through Friday on Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com. Former U.S. Marine from 1967 through 1977, and a frequent guest now on Evident Footprints, my good friend, a fellow researcher, and fellow talk show host, Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show, and happy birthday.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate it. And all my Marines around the world, Semper Fi. Happy birthday, guys. So we're here.
Well,
ready to go.
Now, I don't know if you had the opportunity to celebrate much today. I heard your show with Colorado Al. It was a very good show, by the way. And you had a lot of important stuff that you covered in the first hour of your own show. And you know, it really underscores all the problems that we have right now, too, today. Just you giving us a sort of a history lesson about the Marines and what their true role is. What our role is as, or I should say our roles are as Americans. You want to comment on that, Drew?
Well, as a Marine, many of you out there, if all Marines understand this one salient point. The Marine Corps was designed as the first military engagement of personnel in 1775 before the United States Navy had even had an opportunity to set down and set up its fleet, before the United States Army or even the Congressional Army, Continental Army. The United States Marine Corps is and has been first and foremost the military of the United States colonies, the United Colonies, and of the United States of America, dating back to 1775, November the 10th, when a group of men met in secret in the most popular tavern of the day called Tun Tavern. And since that time, as you heard on my show, Don, we have been first to fight ever since, the first to die in every battle. We have served and we have served courageously in time of peace and time of war, and we have never walked away from battle. Not ever. We have left. We have never left a man behind, and regardless in what war. The only war that devastated the United States Marine Corps, which I did not get an opportunity to talk about, was the War of Northern Aggression, or a.k.a. the Civil War, where the United States Marine Corps was basically devastated to less than 200 men. Even after 3 years of war, there was never more than 400 Marines in the United States Marine Corps. And of the days of the War of Northern Aggression, the majority of the men that served in the Marine Corps that were in the Marine Corps of the North, those men had never served in the service of the military prior to the war. And those that served during the War of Northern Aggression had the least training of any Marine unit, because the Marine Corps of the day, 387 of a 455-man unit, resigned and joined the sovereign states independently of the Confederacy and fought with valor for the Confederate states all the way through, and served on the only Navy vessel that was never captured by any government of the world for the Confederacy all the way up until 1866. We have a distinct history of honor, of loyalty, that dates from our beginning, when we were formed at Tun Tavern with Captain Nicholas as our first commandant, and a tavern owner with no experience whatsoever being the assistant commandant of the Marine Corps, because he was a tavern owner, to enlist Marines with ale and good food, and believe it or not, $10 a month. That was a hefty salary in 1775. So we come all the way today to where we are the most feared and the most hated, and yet the most respected branch of military in the world by all nations, including the Gurkhas. And the Gurkhas, in my eyes, have got the only group of men who look at death as an honor to die. The Gurkhas, I've only worked around those guys one time in Vietnam, and as Colonel Mo Reich put it, he said, the Gurkhas, if they could, they would jump out of a helicopter and just ask you to fly at 100 feet, so at least one or two of them could live to fight the battle.
Well, Drew, that's quite a history lesson you gave us there, and, you know, I want to thank you for your service, too. That goes out to all Marines, including you.
Let me throw one more thing out there to many of you out there that don't understand. Whether a Marine served in Quantico, Virginia as a pencil pusher, a typist, or a paper pusher, whether a Marine has been a female or a male, whether he served in combat or didn't, the Marine looks to another Marine as his brother, his warrior brother or sister, and the respect that we have for each other is bar none. And I'll tell you this, Nod, there is no better friend that anybody can have if they've got a Marine as a friend, and no worse enemy if you've got a Marine as an enemy.
I heard you say that earlier today on your show, too, and I would agree with you. From what I know, I want to ask you a question. This question came to mind while you were speaking, and this isn't intended to be a slight on people in the Army. In regards to this false flag event, and I have to call it a false flag event, after all, they're blaming a Muslim for this, aren't they? They're trying to associate him with Al-Qaeda, aren't they? Which is the same kind of psyop they did on us on 9/11. If they would have tried to pull this off, let's say, at Camp Pendleton, do you think they would have succeeded?
No.
That's all I wanted to ask. And allow the listeners to...
You heard how fast I hesitated.
Yes. And I sort of knew what the answer was going to be anyway.
Okay, there's the distinct... I do not feel that a Muslim nation is responsible for what happened at Fort Hood. My deep respect goes out to all the men and women of the United States Army, the 173rd especially, of United States Army Rangers. There never has been a better group of men outside of the United States Marine Corps as a unit, and that includes the Green Berets, with a better reputation, more honorable reputation than the 173rd Battalion of the United States Army Rangers. And Fort Hood just happens to be the largest Army military training facility in the world, period. It's got 35,000 men and women stationed there, 35,000. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is this setup that went down. If you look, all you have to do is back away and stop listening to the mainstream media and investigate the truth with a pencil and piece of paper and take notes from their own words, their own actions, their own news reports. And you will find out that there is something that is odorous from what the mainstream media is now saying days after Fort Hood than the events that actually happened the day. And it was now they're blaming on the heat of the moment. Well, the governor of the state of Texas made it very clear that he was not going to bring forth any information that he had not yet had confirmed of what the problem was at Fort Hood, Texas, last Friday. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the statements that he said when he went live to the people of the state of Texas was there were three shooters, not four, not five, not ten, not one, three. And one was in custody, two were still battling. That was his own words. One was in custody, and two were still fighting. Well, then later on in his speech, there was a question that somebody in the audience said, we heard there was five. And maybe more. And the governor made the statement, says, ma'am, with all due respect, he didn't say with all due respect, he says, ma'am, I cannot divulge any information that is not true. I do not have those facts yet. And I don't want to give out misleading information. Repeat, I don't want to give out misleading information. But he had already said that he had confirmed three shooters. Now they come back and retract it all? Oh, no, Don, there's something wrong here. And as you know, and of what I have discussed with you, those of us that are in the Marine Corps, we have the option of every 3 months of going to the pistol range. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Marine Corps has a firing line in the pistol range of 30 yards, 50 yards, 75 yards, and 100 yards. And on qualification day, for expert only. After you've already received the expert badge, you only have to shoot the 50 and 100 yard lines. A 45 caliber pistol only carries 7 rounds of ammo. 7 rounds. And the news media and the military are, and the false flag event people are trying to tell me that a lone gunman walked around and shot and killed 13 people and wounded 30 and shot 200 rounds of ammo with a pistol? Ladies and gentlemen, I am an expert with a pistol. You can't tell me that I can walk into any crowded event. You're talking about how many, listen to this, 7 rounds? That's 20 magazines is 140 rounds. 20 magazines, ladies and gentlemen. There is no, even in combat, there isn't a Marine, there isn't a pistol, officer. Or a senior enlisted man with a 45 or 44 on his side with 140 rounds of ammo with that we're talking about 20 magazines. Ain't no way. And you can't stop and load 7 rounds in a 45 caliber cartridge. Hello. I lost my train of thought. In a 45 magazine, cock it and load it and tell me you're going to shoot and kill somebody. 200 rounds of ammunition, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't take rocket science to understand. We're talking about almost 30 magazines with 7 rounds of bullets apiece. Do you know what a 45 caliber slug cost? Weighs? It doesn't rhyme in a combat Marine's portfolio. Now, I know there are men out there that like to say Drew Raines never served in the Marine Corps. I know that there are men out there that come out and say, well, I did this, and I used to work with these people. Well, if you did, Colonel Boatwright, you know that the record that you've been given is a lie to make somebody else look bad. But no, many people out there on other networks and in private life, will believe the lie. Because they can't kill the message that the person puts out.
Drew, I want to ask you a pertinent question in regard to what you were just talking about. There were numerous reports now. At first, there were one or two. There are numerous reports that someone has not only heard, and I understand that the chaplain who was presiding over the graduation ceremony, had served in the Army himself, and he heard numerous weapons being fired, including automatic weapons, and he described M16s. I've also heard that there are some people that have recordings of this gunfire.
Yes, we do.
Okay, so can you elaborate on that at all? Beyond what I just said?
I have on the ground that was close by that somebody actually heard semi-automatic fire burst coming from the general vicinity. Can't speak, I'm sorry. And this is a combat Marine who knows the distinct difference between fully automatic, semi-automatic, and pistol fire in combat. Not somebody that just happens to be hearing the rapport at a pistol range or a rifle range or a machine gun range.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I have personal friends that, quote, I have a friend that was there on the ground inside the compound, and there was only one shooter. But there was one shooter at the location of where that man was. Now, this is unique perspective that I had to point out to two of my friends. This is okay. You have your friend was located where at, and what was he doing at the time? Well, he was right there at the graduation ceremony, with the graduation ceremony where the first shots were fired. Okay, fine. Stop and hold that point. Ding, 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 ding. Pick up cell phone. Call another Marine. Hey, Jack, would you tell Herm what you heard and where your shooter was? Yeah, I was down here at the theater, and we heard some fully automatic fire coming from on the side of the theater. I was inside the theater, and I come running out prepared for an onslaught. And I said, I asked the question, well, you were in the theater, how did you hear the report? And he said, because we had just opened the back door to the theater to let people out. The movie was over with. The afternoon movie was over with.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've also heard that there were actually three different incidents going on simultaneously.
Well, this is very interesting, because at the same moment that this Marine was Army personnel was giving out the information at the theater where he was located, the other Army personnel was inside the area where they were having a graduation ceremony. In both instances were happening at the same time, while a third location, something was going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, that corroborates what I said on some past shows, both my show last night, as well as a show I did with you, and a show I did with Dr. H. Ruat today.
Well, here's something that's very interesting that nobody's talking about. The base went to lockdown. Now, you know what lockdown is.
Yes, I know what that is. Yes, yes. We do that on Evident Footprints from time to time.
So from lockdown, you're not supposed to do anything. You're not supposed to go anywhere. It reverts back to 9/11. What happened on 9/11 that was so strange, Don? And I'll go to the point and even answer that question.
Well, if I can say, I know that there was an exercise going on to prevent the very thing that happened, and they had a stand down. If you want to say there was a lockdown, must have been some lockdown of the Air Force, at least.
Well, the lockdown or the stand down of the military and the civilian aircraft around the United States occurred on 9/11, but there was one aircraft that was allowed to leave the country a full 9 hours. 9 hours after the first plane crashed into the Twin Towers, supposedly a plane crashed into the Twin Towers. 9 hours later, an aircraft left and flew out of the United States air territory, control towers, and headed to where? To Saudi Arabia.
Would that have been the Bin Ladens?
So we understand that there was this lockdown where Americans were subjected to no flying. No one could go anywhere by air for 3 solid days, over 76 hours. Yet one aircraft was able to leave the United States air control situational tower system, carrying the Bin Laden family and a number of other Saudi Arabians. They were allowed to leave, but we were forced basically or sequestered around the nation back onto airports in Canada, in Mexico, and planes landed. And you hear the gracious hospitality of the Canadians. the gracious hospitality of the Mexican government for those aircraft that were turned around and headed back into Mexico. Even the offer by the Cuban President Castro to allow three aircraft that were headed into nonstop Miami to land in Cuba, but were diverted to Mexico City instead. Ladies and gentlemen, what happened at Fort Hood? The lockdown, there was no aircraft flying in and out, but there were a black U.S. government SUV, GMC International, with very dark tinted windows, allowed to leave the base, with at least, as we have been able to confirm, at least four individuals, a driver, a shotgun person in the front seat, and two men in the back seat. Who were those men? And what kind of priority and what kind of privilege did those men have in leaving a base that supposedly is locked down, where the men and women and children that were at the high school, the elementary schools, the other locations on the Fort Hood base were ordered to stand down and couldn't. I mean, they wouldn't even let people check out of the commissary or the PX. What's wrong with this picture? Ladies and gentlemen, grab your pen and paper and ask this one question. Who was in that black SUV? Nice question, isn't it?
Yeah, sure is. You know, going back to what you said about 9/11 and the flight that left. Now, I know that they ushered out the Bin Laden family. Now that's one of the smoking guns of 9/11 right there. The fact that they used Bin Laden as a ruse for starting a war in Afghanistan and in Iraq, and they associated Saddam Hussein to that, full well knowing that he didn't support Bin Laden. The CIA did. He was working for the CIA. And this is another CIA operation here. So, you'd have to look at who actually planned this event. Number one, this was related to the 10,000 tons of gold that China gave the U.S., money that was to be used to kickstart the Iraqi economy with U.S. dollars, and the money was parked in Jordan and then eventually brought back to the U.S., to Fort Hood. And it sat there about 15 years. And so, as we had a gold heist at the World Trade Center, you remember what Richard Andrew Grove described seeing, pulling out of the lower levels of the World Trade Center, these trucks filled with gold? Okay, they had the same thing going on there at Fort Hood. And I do know this, the LA Times reported that George W. Bush and Laura Bush made a surprise visit to the bereaved of the shooting victims. And they asked the commander, I think his name is Cone, if I remember correctly, Commander Cone. They asked him not to mention it to anyone. And the Times,
commanding officer of the base.
Yes, yes. The,
no, he's not a commander, he was a general. But
oh, okay.
We get the idea.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I'm not...
The commanding officer of the base, okay? They offered, they were advised, i.e. the commanding officer of the base, General Cone, was advised not to mention the fact that Laura and G.W. Bush were there to give condolences to those that were at the base, and he did not want, quote, G.W. Bush did not want any publicity of the matter. Now, how many bodyguards were with G.W. Bush? Believe it or not, he drives around with a complement of 30. Okay, but I dare to tell you there were more than 30.
Well, yes, and that the L.A. Times reported it anyway was kind of interesting. Now, you take that into consideration with the fact that this was a bank robbery, and he was merely there to let Daddy know if it had succeeded or not. Now, this reason for secrecy primarily was so the Clintons wouldn't find out, because this event has created a rift between the Bush-Clinton cabal. And there were some also some other bank heists going on in parallel operations, one in the Caribbean, I know, and I think another one in Panama. So you have this really, I mean, it's a slick operation that they had planned out, but what they tried to pull off got caught on an international level. You see, this money belongs to the Chinese. The money belongs to the Chinese, and they signed off, creating a liability for the rest of the American people. This is what's going on. This is why the media is pumping this so hard, trying to create another racial issue with Muslim people. And certainly we know from the information that came out about Major Hassan that he was working with the mind control aspect of the intelligence agencies. We know that from his work history. So the pieces are starting to come together, Drew, with what you're adding to the mix here. And I didn't mean to...
I'm not adding anything. I'm just reporting what I'm being given from people that were on ground, on station, and they're discussing it. And then other, you know, here I've got a really good friend who knows somebody that was physically there. And then I've got another good friend that knows somebody that was physically there. But they were at two different locations.
Mm-hmm.
And they both said there was only one gunman in their eye because of the situation where they were with the knowledge that they had, there was only one gunman.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were not part of the other episode that was going on at another location 400 or 500 yards away.
Yeah. Now, you were telling us the story of the one person that was in the theater and came out to see what was...
they were opening the doors.
Mm-hmm.
To the theater to let people out the door.
Oh, because the movie was over, you said.
The movie was over.
Okay.
And when he opened the door on one side of the theater, he heard the report of an M16 that was right there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, military men literally, what do? They run for cover, especially if they're unarmed.
Yeah.
Okay? But at the same time, they also want to do reconnaissance on the situation. To see what's going on, because you know normally you know somebody shooting an M16 next to a theater on a military base is a no-no. So military men are going to be cautious in walking over to investigate the situation. They're not going to walk out there and say, "Hey, what are you doing shooting that weapon on a military base?" I mean, that's ludicrous. Anybody that says that a man walks out of a theater and walks right into the gunfire, unless the gunfire was right there in front of the door.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and if it was right there in front of the door, somebody's going to reach out there and shut that door.
Yeah. Well, now a lot of people are under the impression that these soldiers are walking around the base from hour to hour and carrying weapons with them, and they can't understand how this can happen. Well, of course, they're not walking around armed.
On a military base, it's not unheard of to see one or two men occasionally with a .45 pistol strapped onto their side, okay, on a military installation. It's not unheard of to see a group of men with rifles doing training on a military base.
Mm-hmm.
It is unheard of to see men marching and doing training with rifles with a magazine with ammunition. Now, that is a no-no. You're not going to see that unless you're going to be out at the rifle range where you've got a platoon marching off to the firing range from the armory where they are presented their ammo.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to see it in a quarter area where civilians commingle. You're not going to see that. And you're definitely not going to see anybody walking around a military base with 30 magazines of ammo strapped to their body or around their shoulder. That's a no-no. I mean, you're just, I mean, on any military, even at Camp Lejeune or Camp Pendleton or Little River, Marine Corps bases, you're not going to see it, period. Not even, you're not going to see that kind of activity at Edson Range or Puller Range. You're not going to see it, period. You're not going to see it on Marine Corps, the top secret Marine Corps base, a Butler base, located inside the military bases in the Y. But you'll see a lot of Marines walking around with a pistol on their side, a .45 pistol on their side, with maybe one magazine in the pistol, maybe one magazine. You might see two magazines on their ammo belt, but you're not going to see 30. That's unheard of. That's
yeah.
Ludicrous.
Well, you gave us a good description. I mean, for someone to imagine that. Now, the forensic evidence hasn't come in as far as them tracking down, but they should be able to say what weapons were actually fired, shouldn't they, if they do their investigation properly?
Yes.
Now, the next question, can we expect that to be done? There have been so many lies told already, see?
Okay. Al Capone, as Al Capone would say, put me in charge of the murder investigation.
Yeah, and I think a day or two ago I made a remark that we should call back Arlen Specter on this one, like he did after the Kennedy assassination, the single bullet theory.
Yeah, exactly. This is a single gun theory. Yeah, okay.
You know, you're talking about a couple hundred rounds here, even if it was half of that, it's certainly a lot different from what's been presented by the facts. The facts are that one man couldn't do that, armed as he was said to have been armed.
Well, this is why the cover-up is going down, and going down in such a way to bring the President of the United States and his wife and the former President of the United States, both the previous former presidents, all three of the previous former presidents, to come to Fort Hood. Give condolences to everybody and take the shock of the situation away and give the survivors something else to think about. The President of the United States came and hugged me. The former President of the United States came in and gave us condolences. His wife came here with tears and was so upset. They all of a sudden the mind is clouded. And are you going to be able to get the hundreds of people together and talk about it in a civilian atmosphere where you're going to get some truth? I don't think so. I don't think there's going to be any more than where we're at right now. It's going to be covered up more and more and deeper and deeper.
Well, yeah, and we have to keep uncovering it and uncovering it and
we need to discuss it. And this is why Wind Talkers Radio Network has a man on the scene. You know, this is what's so unique about Wind Talkers Radio Network not being affiliated with any network, period. They pick and choose the radio networks that they choose. They pull the best off of GCN, the best off of RBN, the best off of BBS, what they think and what they want to provide for their listening audiences.
Mm-hmm.
Where they are, for former military. Even on my show today, there was a gentleman that came into the chat room and he made a very discouraging comment that listening to my show while I was giving the announcement of where the United States Marine Corps hymn came from. And he said, oh, I see what's going on. Well, you guys go back to sleep. I'll see you later.
I saw that. Yeah. Yeah.
But how rude. How rude. A guy comes in for 2 seconds, and he doesn't even know what's going on, and knows the tribute of what was being said. He doesn't want to listen to any other parts of the show, specifically what Colorado Al had to say.
Well, those people do that, Drew, to poison the minds of those that are there to hear the truth. You know, they,
so he walked away, and within about 2 minutes, two others walked away. But he wasn't able to get any vast majority, nor was he able to get anybody that was rebroadcasting the show to turn the show off. To the man, almost every one of the Wind Talker radio networks that rebroadcast my show around the world, none of them go to the chat room. They do not participate in the chat room because of one salient point that was made by one of them one day in a comment he made to me. He says, Drew, do you ever really sit there and pay attention to what they're doing in the chat room? And I made a comment to him. I said, you know, I'm in there and I check to see if there's any questions. And if I see the question mark or if I see something that stands out as I speed read it, I'll make a comment or join in to those people. But normally I don't sit there and participate as a conversation chat back and forth. And then you, Don Nikoloff, the Thomas Paine of the era, made the salient point that the people in the chat room most of the time are talking about subjects that aren't even what we're talking about on the show. And that's why the independent Wind Talker radio owners don't participate there. And they're so independent, they want the information presented to their audience without all of the distraction.
Mm-hmm.
We still get occasionally we'll get a phone call that's distracting.
Yeah.
And I try to pull those out, and you've heard me chastise a few of them.
Oh, I have. I saved those archives, actually. They're inspiring and at the same time hilarious to see how you put them in their place.
Because I do this quite often without using curse words. Yes, I've got passion. Yes, I raise my voice. Yes, I scream. But the passion that I have is because I'm frustrated, ladies and gentlemen, with the Americans, with Canadians, with the Europeans, with the Asians, with the South Americans, with the Australians, the New Zealanders. I'm fed up to the fact that you around the world aren't participating enough to let others know. Wait a minute. I live, and I'll give you a classic point. Bobby, I'm not going to embarrass you, girl. Bobby is the wife of a former United States Marine in New Zealand who runs the radio show in the midday there. That broadcast my show while her husband is sleeping after he does the overnight presentation of the show that gets up off and up and down all night long. And Bobby attempts to get people to discuss what's going on in New Zealand to the rest of the world. And she's not very successful, but when she is successful, the salient points that come out of New Zealand show the passion of the New Zealanders over their own distrust of government from taking the guns away from the people. And in Australia, I've got Megan, who is my master website owner and webmaster there. She herself is frustrated with Americans not wanting to go out and start World War III in taking over everything, and she's frustrated to the point where the Australians surrendered their guns very peacefully, and here we are in America, and we're allowing people like Mayor Daley to get on the idiot box from a schoolroom situation with children in the background, make salient points that Americans are in love with guns. We have a problem in America that Americans are in love with guns, and that's why we had this shooting go down in Fort Hood. And we have to understand that America's got to do something about guns. I've got the radio clip from that. It amazes me that this man in Chicago would say such a thing. Do you have 1 minute? Do you have 1 minute, Don?
Oh, absolutely. I was going to bring that up anyway. I'm glad you did. So,
ladies and gentlemen, listen. This is live recorded from Chicago of an interview with Mayor Daley. Listen up.
And Mayor Daley is back in Chicago today and talking about the Fort Hood shootings. The mayor was at Durkin Park Elementary School this morning, unveiling an expansion of the city's Arabic language program. A federal grant will be used to expand those classes to 3 more schools. While talking to the media, the mayor dismissed the idea that the Fort Hood shootings will spark an anti-Islamic movement.
Every day in society, someone's being killed, unfortunately. America loves guns. We love guns to a point that we see the devastation on a daily basis. And you don't blame a group. You don't blame a society, a immigrant community, because of actions of one group. You can't, of one individual. You cannot say that.
Now, isn't that a salient point there? He says you can't blame one group. Well, wait a minute, Mayor Daley. You're blaming gun owners for this situation. Where are you at? Where's your head? I mean, right now, today, on the 11th day of November, in China, they executed 9, repeat, they, the government of China, executed 9 men and women that were involved in the recent protest riots from just 3 months ago. From 3 months ago, they put 9 people to death. Now, in America, that would be unheard of, for putting somebody to death that led a protest. And why does the government of the United States not do that? Because we, the people, are armed against such an atrocity. The United States of America is the last vestiges of true freedom fighters around the world. I don't blame the Muslims as a whole, but I blame the government of the United States, who's been watching this major, i.e. former captain, i.e. Army personnel, who rants and raves on a website, rants and raves throughout the week, giving out Qurans and trying to convert impressionable 18, 19-year-old men into the Muslim religion and against the government of the United States. I have a problem when we're searching little old ladies in an airport, but when a woman comes walking in with her burqa on, they don't bother to frisk her, or if she sets off the metal detector, they ask her, you know, they run a little wand over, what's that right there? And they say, well, that's the metal strip of my bra. But they don't pull her off into a room and strip search her, but they'll take a 75-year-old woman out of a wheelchair and that was born and raised in the United States of America, and they'll take her to the room and strip search her, 75 years old, at an airport? Who's the murderers out there that are destroying your civil liberties and your rights, ladies and gentlemen? Invariably, they have a religious background of the Muslim Islamic race. Yet we won't come for, well, that's profiling. Wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen. If you've got a man 5'7" that walks into banks and kills the bank teller and robs the bank constantly on a weekend basis every Friday for 9 weeks, and you're in a bank on Friday afternoon at 3:00, and a man walks in the door with a white hat on and spads and you walk up to the you don't come around the counter and say, "Well, Mr. Dillinger, would you like the money now, or you want to shoot me first?" I mean, this is ludicrous, ladies and gentlemen. This is like calling a murderer up on the phone and said, "We want you to sit on the jury trial for this murder over here because we have to have a jury trial of his peers. So we've got to put 12 murderers on the jury." And then 15 years later, we're still trying the man that committed murder with 5 witnesses, with camera surveillance that shows his face, his posture. But we'll put a woman to death on circumstantial evidence that she killed somebody and she was part of a murdering situation, but there's no evidence that she pulled the trigger. She was just associated with it, but she's got to be put to death right away, within 2 years, without, you know, due process. We'll put other people to death without, on circumstantial evidence, on fraudulent DNA testing. What's wrong with America? I'll tell you what's wrong with America, ladies and gentlemen. We've lost our faith. We've walked away from God. And we've disavowed of what God has put out there and advised us, that you can't let pedophiles run the store. You can't let queers and homosexuals run the store unless you want queers, homosexuals, and pedophiles in your life. You can't have closet pedophiles in government. If there is a rumor of a man that is a pedophile, you don't put him on the committee of justice in researching the legality of pedophilia. You don't take John Dillinger and put him on the jury trial for the murder of the bank teller when Babyface Nelson is being brought to trial.
And let Al Capone be the judge.
And allow Al Capone to be the judge. Exactly right. But that's what America has reverted to. And we don't have a man, this long-legged Mac Daddy that has this B.O. problem in Washington, D.C. If 50 years ago, if this man was running against honorable men like John Fitzgerald Kennedy or Robert Kennedy, the news media would be all over this man with a fine-tooth comb. Where are you born? Are you even a human being? There is too much doubt that this man is not an American citizen legally to hold the office of the President of the United States, yet nobody is asking the question. However, the polls, independent polls from the philanthropists out there around the nation come forth, and they're making independent polls that are saying that 85% of all Americans feel that government service agents should be only the agents that are of American descent. Government services should go only to the Americans that are here legally and can't prove it. Rasmussen poll came out today with that. 85%. 85% of Americans feel that there needs to be an investigation on Acorn. Indicators are growing constantly. The president is recognizing, and more congressional loyalists now are coming forth with foreign lobbyists working toward a betrayal of American citizens' rights. Vigilante neighborhood watch groups are seeking to defend more and more of your tax funds, illegally embezzling the money for non-citizen invading mobs. Divorce trends are hinting to overthrow the government. Misguided does your rights, your de facto rights, out and out de facto rights to overthrow the government of the United States from within. We're not talking about Americans that, like me, that want you to know what the truth is with the Constitution. This isn't former Marines that stood up and died in Vietnam or Cambodia, Iraq, or Afghanistan. Marines have died all over this planet in the last 50 years, needlessly, for the control of the fascists of government under the rules that we're protecting democracy. This is not a democracy, ladies and gentlemen. This is a constitutional republic. No other nation in the world could respect a constitutional republic based on God's principles of the Ten Commandments.
Drew, I hate to interrupt you, and I agree with what you're saying. You're right on point. We've got a caller on the line.
All callers are welcome. Please come forth.
Okay, Jelani, how are you this evening?
Great. How you doing?
Good. Do you have a question or a comment for Mr. Drew Malone Raines III?
Yeah, well,
I thought you were going to ask Don a question.
No. But I heard several times that, you know, you were saying, making analogies to putting Al Capone and making Al Capone a judge. And, you know, you don't put somebody who was involved in a crime on the and give them authority to make the decision as to what happens to those who committed the crime. And I was curious as to how that connects to Fort Hood, because I'm not particularly familiar with the story as a whole or in detail. So I was just wondering about that specifically relating to conflicts of interest.
Drew?
In the investigations of Fort Hood in relating to the situation, we have men that are investigating Fort Hood who are part of the planning of what happened in Fort Hood. They're part of the cover up to keep the knowledge of what's going on in Fort Hood clouded events. And therefore, there's no independent, there's no outside investigators going to Fort Hood to look at the situation from a third-party investigative nature.
Yeah, they're allowing the military to investigate itself.
I have no problem with the military investigating what happened on Fort Hood. I implore the military to investigate what happened in Fort Hood. But I would prefer that the military come, the investigators come from another branch of the government. So, I mean, the other branches of the services, from another military base to investigate the situation.
Let me ask you a question, Drew, if I may. And it's along the lines of the answer that you gave Jelani to his question. You have this entity, which is the U.S. Army, and they subcontract or contract with a subcontractor who provides security to the base. Now, for that security company to be legal, we'll say legal, I'm presuming that they are licensed civilly. Is that not correct?
Correct.
shouldn't then a civil law enforcement agency be able to come in and investigate on that basis?
In that situation, yes. But see, the, I bring that forth. This is a 35,000 manned base. Therefore, they have contracted for civil authority to be like a civil police force, because it was the good old boy system ran amok at Fort Hood back in the 60s and 70s. If you knew the commanding officer's daughter, you didn't get speeding tickets, okay, on base. If you knew somebody on base that was of a higher rank, whether it be enlisted or officer, and you were caught stealing something from the PX, you got away with it. The inherent fraud. So the military at the larger bases around the United States quietly went to independent police security to allow basically an overwatch of what's going on, because the military couldn't police themselves in as much as their uniforms could not bring some different situation to the arena.
Mm-hmm.
In the Marine Corps, the United States Marine Corps, on a Marine Corps base like Cherry Point, North Carolina, the Marine Corps has their own MP detachment. Cherry Point, North Carolina, Miramar, California, Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, Camp Pendleton, California, those are the four largest bases of the United States Marine Corps. Yet there is no civilian presence on any of those bases, because the United States Marine Corps goes back to the MP situation, and we train our MPs in a civilian atmosphere, but at the same time, we haven't got the stigma of the good old boy system.
Yeah,
letting people off.
Well, I just brought up that point basically because you have a civil entity or a civilly licensed entity, not of a non-military nature, performing a function. You know, that would be like if it was the plumbers, okay, that were coming there to repair the toilets in the mess hall building or something, you know.
That happens in all military. I mean, if you want to get down to the basic running of the base, that's every agency every base in America. All plumbers, all repair technicians are independently contractors.
Mm-hmm.
They bid on it. I mean, the you have military housing at Cherry Point. If the men and women that go to military housing, whether it's an officer area or an enlisted area, everything in that that house, the military on base housing, belongs to the base as far as the permanent structures, i.e. the washing machines, the dryers, the refrigerators, the stoves, and out in Havelock, the civilians once a year bid on the contract of what they're going to charge Cherry Point, the hourly cost and the service call to go to those areas.
Yeah. Now the reason I bring that up is not really to go into all that detail about the functionality of the whole base. What I'm saying, let's say, for example, they called the plumbers, and the plumbers ended up being involved in the shootout.
Call the Plumbers Association to come investigate it. That's what
I'm
getting at.
Well, okay. what I'm getting at is they're entitled to some civil investigation from outside the Army. From outside whatever.
Well, in the Marine Corps, it's investigated both by the on-base military branch, okay, the MPs, as well as the local civilian.
The CID, you're going to say, or whatever.
NCIS.
Okay.
And then the FBI automatically comes in. A lot of people, everybody thinks the FBI is out there to work in the civilian arena But if it's on a military base, any military installation in the United States, the high sheriff is the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Yeah. Well, on the basis of, and I want to, you know, we've got to close the show out here in a moment, but I just want to say on the basis of the information I've come out, heard come out from the mainstream media, it doesn't look like we're going to hear the truth. Unless there's an honest investigation and they give that information to the mainstream media. But then, again, they're going to be eating crow. They've changed their story 20 or 30 times already.
Oh, yeah. Even the stories of the number of shooters have changed. They changed right there as the action was going on. I mean, it was 3 to 5. And there was 3 to 5. There were definitely 3. No, there were 4. Then it was back to 3, and then finally they rested on 1. All that happened in that first 5 hours.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, if you have a whole bunch of different networks that are trying to get out the same story, and they're trying to, you know, be the first to get out, okay, well, this is what happened, this is what we find out, then, you know, couldn't that be a reason for the changing? Because if one network says, oh, we heard it's 5 shooters, and then another network says, oh, we know now it's 4, let's get our story out, it's 4. And then that becomes the number, and then somebody else says it's 3, you know? So just different stories conflicting?
Well, I think they even do that intentionally, you see, because it ramps up the chaos, and it ramps up the fear that even the almighty media can't get the story straight. Or it's just incompetence, let's put it that way. You know, you have to be able to get this information out to all the media at the same time. And maybe that's the problem they had. You know, certainly they tend to switch to major syndicated news, you know, New York or Los Angeles, for example. Or they might take a team down there and just keep everything generated from down there. And it's disgusting how they cover these events and cut to commercials. You know, and the commercials they run are obscene at the same time. But you see, they do everything they can to control the minds of the American people. Bottom line, that's what it is. I mean, if you're not telling the truth, you're hiding something, you're lying about something. Why are you lying about it? Well, there's something they don't want us to know. And like on this show tonight and shows I did this afternoon and shows we did yesterday, All the truth about what's going on has been coming out in droplets at times, but nonetheless, it all falls in the bucket, you know, and the bucket's getting filled with facts.
Well, I have just one final question before you sign off. For both of you, will you be having any written information about Fort Hood and your analysis of what's going on? On either of your websites? By the way, I checked out your website too, Drew. I like it.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm working on a piece. I've got a lot of information compiled, and I've been sharing it on the interviews that I've done. But to answer your question, yes, I'll be coming out with something.
Okay.
And Drew?
And what most of you don't realize, at one time I had for 5 years, I had a segment on my website where my caricature cartoon at the top left-hand corner set was direct links to everything about 9/11, over 300 videos and written articles as well as videos. And I just took it down a year ago because there's so many other websites out there that do such a better job. And yes, I will probably put up some form of little block up there that will bring forth the evidence and information on Fort Hood. But right now, it's too early for me to post anything because the investigators are still working. When I say the investigators, I'm talking about the Wind Talkers radio owner there in Killeen, Texas. The individual militia units around Fort Hood that are civilian men and women of the former United States Army, Air Force, Marine Corps, Navy, Coast Guard that live in and around this area that are retired and utilize the base facilities, because this has got all the amenities of a small city. And you have to understand, most of these people go on base, especially the smokers, go on base to get non-brand cigarettes for $30 a carton. That sounds high for non-smokers, a $30 a carton, but when a person goes into Walmart, you find that a carton of Marlboros costs you $50. Well, Marlboros are manufactured and placed in generic cartons and placed on military bases. You can't tell they're made by R.J. Reynolds, but you can buy them for $20 a carton cheaper. For smokers, that $20 is a lot of money when they're smoking a carton a week. That's $100 a month. So retired military who are addicted to cigarettes, they go to military bases to shop. Retirees will go to the base and shop for their sons and daughters who haven't retired from the military, because they can buy 3 pounds of white bacon for $4.75. Out in town, 3 pounds of white bacon runs for $8.95. You can buy $200 worth of groceries on a military installation. If you bought it off base, you're going to pay $500 for it. So there's a large contingency of people that are there at Fort Hood that know that were on base, that were part of the lockdown, that have not come forth and discussed what's happening. And that's where these people that work on privately owned, independently operated radio networks around Killeen, Texas, around Fort Hood, they're uniting very silently right now. And they're doing their personal investigations. They're going to put it all together as an outline and present it to me, and I'll be passing that information on to Don Nikoloff, because Don Nikoloff is, repeat, ladies and gentlemen, Don Nikoloff, whether he likes it or not, he is the Thomas Paine of 2009.
Drew, you've said that before, and I've even gotten email from people backing you up, so, you know, I appreciate the compliment. I'm just trying to put the truth out there like you are, the best I can. And in response to what you said and Jelani's question again, it would be a heck of a lot easier if we were there and it was convenient to be there. But you see, they don't want this to come out. And so we have to use our gut instincts, our discernment, our intuition, our research skills, our network of other people around the world to find things out that normally wouldn't be made available to us because of the amount of secrecy and propaganda that we're subjected to. So what we do come up with, I feel, is miraculous, really. When you're not someplace and you can figure out what's going on and read between the lines and really understand what's going on, you know, that's what we're trying to do. So as we're able, within our abilities, to report factually and in a way where people can understand what's really going on, we should do that. As Americans, we should be doing that. That's what people who love their country do. That's what people who love God do as well.
And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to profess there is a book out there that was written in 1996. It's been rewritten. I shouldn't say rewritten as a whole, but it's been added to and subjected to more truth within the pages of this book. It's called Patriots, Surviving the Coming Collapse. I implore you. It's not a very expensive book. It's around $15, $16, $19, I think. I've got my personal copy loaned out to a friend. I got to get it back. Surviving the Coming Collapse. You need to read this book, because even though it's a fictional book written in 1995, and the author, R.J. Rawls, he has updated it and added more specifics to it. It was originally 297 pages. I think it's up to about 365 now. But It is a book that shows you where we are, where we have been these last 15 years, and the fact that where we're going to go in the very near future. If I read this book in 1996, I would have swore on my mother's or my grandfather's grave that we would have these circumstances that he wrote about in 1995 would come about by the year 2000. I even prepared for it because of the fear around the year 2000. Now I look at what was there, the points that are laid out, the outline of history that's been before now from over the course of hundreds of years. We're here living these times. This is 1775. This is the makings of the modern future United States Marine Corps, where men are meeting behind the scenes in closed doors, in taverns around the United States, very silently, to unite for the coming internal conflict that's going on here, that's about to happen here in America. It's coming to a door around you. We're about to lose our power, our electricity. And once the power grid goes down, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be taken back into the dark ages. We're going to live like our forefathers lived in the 1800s. And it's going to be 99% of the law is going to be those that own what's there in their possession, right there. And it's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets any better. The Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Schiffs, the Millers, the numerous names that I cannot bring forth, the Londos, the Landaus, the Fitzgeralds, the Jacksons, they are coming forth with controlling the money supply. And I just gave you the American names. I could give you the Indian names. I can give you the names from China, the names from Russia, the names from Africa that are all bringing down this collapse, worldwide calamity, because these power elite fascists want to reduce the population of their nations and the world and turmoil. And it's coming. It's coming faster than you feel. And my only example is of the war of 1789, France. A cleansing is coming. Only this time around, it's not going to stop. The cleansing is going to be worldwide. And the super elitists are going to lose, because I've read the last chapter of the Bible. I understand that the wrath of the Creator and His only begotten Son are coming, because we have these fascist, elitist, evil, Satanists, these reptilian beings from other worlds that want to destroy this planet. But God is not going to allow this planet to be destroyed, nor is He going to allow this planet to come under some dictatorial, dragonian rule.
Drew,
we'll have free will.
Drew, I hate to cut you off, but we have to close the show out.
I just looked up. I was going to give you another paragraph from. Give me 2 minutes. This is saying it to your show, Don. Thomas Paine wrote, "Nothing can appear more contradictory than the principles on which the old governments began, and the condition to which society, civilization, and commerce are capable of carrying out. Government on the old system is an assumption of power for the aggrandizement of itself. On the new, a delegation of power for the common benefit of society. The former supports itself by keeping up a system of war. The latter promotes a system of peace as the true means of enriching a nation. The one encourages national prejudices. The other promotes universal society as the means of universal commerce. The one measures its prosperity by the quality of revenue it extorts, the other proves its excellence by small quantity of taxes required to run it. Thomas Paine, in his chapter of the old and new systems of government. Don Nikoloff, I'm proud to know you. I'm proud to be on your show. You are the Thomas Paine of the year 2000. Isn't that?
Well, Drew, I'm proud to have you on my show, and I was actually unaware that this was the 234th birthday of the U.S. Marine Corps when I was insisting I was going to have you on this day, and look how it turned out. So I want to thank you for your service, not just when you were in the Marines, but right now, and all the years since you left the Marine Corps. Certainly your friends and former associates around the world that served with you know your character. Those that came to know you afterwards through your radio show, through your writings and your many readings, certainly appreciate you for what you're doing. And I want to thank you for being on the show. And
my honor.
Let you
my
know
honor.
I'm proud to have you as a friend.
My honor to meet you. Oh, by the way, if anybody out there has any extra hard drives, I sure could use one. I've had a number of people tell me that they were going to send one, but they never have arrived. And I had a during my show today, I was attacked. I don't know if you heard my show, Don.
I heard you say one of your computers was down. Yeah.
I mean, it was. I mean, right there. I mean, I was sitting there pulling information to clarify the Marine Corps birthday and where we came from and the honor of Gonzalez, who received the Medal of Honor, one of the personal men that I personally know, and who died in Vietnam, and a Trey Tracer. Who was he wasn't a personal friend, but he was a fellow citizen of Shreveport, Louisiana, and the best quarterback I ever saw and played against. I played against Trey Tracer and Terry Bradshaw, and Trey Tracer could run circles around Terry Bradshaw, not only as a honest man, as a fellow football warrior on the field, but also as a private citizen who respected others and other people's rights, whether they were on the gridiron against him or on the gridiron playing for him.
Okay,
and
Drew.
Marie, he did the same thing.
Drew.
Yeah,
Let's hope somebody got that message, okay? And I want to wish you and all the U.S. Marine Corps a happy birthday, all the veterans out there, happy Veterans Day. And, Drew, you're going to be on next week, so I look forward to that. I'll be on your show next Monday. Looking forward to that as well, and see what more information we can bring out to clarify this nightmare that we've been through.
Last comment, war is a racket. Major General Smedley Darlington Butler.
Yes, we've talked about that on past shows, too. That's an excellent book for understanding what's going on. Drew Raines, thank you very much. I wish you a great rest of the week, and look forward to hearing your show on Blog Talk Radio. That's a Marines Disquisition, Monday through Friday, from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Time. And
United States of America Central Time, not 4 to 6 Australian Central Time.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yes, American Central Time. That's correct. Okay, Drew, have a good night. Thanks for being on the show. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio and our special guest, Drew Malone Raines III. You can visit his website by going to amd.elequity.com. Again, amd.elequity.com. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for carrying this show. And also to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound. Most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Jelani, thank you for your wonderful questions. And in the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. And have a good night.